some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio Show on Heritage Radio Network. It's sponsored by the Good Beer Seal, www.goodbeerseal.com, an association of Good Beer Seal bars in New York City. And our co-host tonight is Sam Merritt from The Civilization of Beer. I'm joined by our special guest, Jen Ward, also known as Brooklyn Beer Gal, and Josh Bernstein, a very good beer writer. So how's everybody doing tonight? Sam, how are you?
Oh, I'm excellent, Jimmy.
Good. Did you bring a special quote for us or a toast?
I didn't. I just want to say I'm here and I have some beer in front of me.
And be yourself. Yeah. And how about you, Jen? How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm honored to be here, actually.
Well, I'm so happy to have Brooklyn Beer Gal with us.
It's exciting.
It's kind of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and Josh, it's good to see you.
Happy to be here on a rainy day.
All right. Didn't
think of anywhere else to be.
Josh bought a really cool beer. It's called Firestone Solus, an unfiltered ale. Josh, tell us a little bit about this beer.
Firestone, and this is their new spring seasonal. It's a bit of it's a nice summer sipper, cloudy, unfiltered, but it's got It's got a nice tang to it that's going to go well on a nice 90-degree day.
Well, you know, drinking this beer, I'm looking at the beer. It's Firestone. Firestone is just being distributed now in New York City. In fact, at Jimmy's 43, we got a couple of kegs of their special IPA this week. Firestone's one of those special craft beers that has a great following and hasn't been available in New York forever, I think. I'm looking at this beer right now, and it's cloudy. And this brings up an interesting point, wine versus beer. I have a great book here by Sam Collagione and Marnie Old called He Said Beer and She Said Wine. And before the show, we were talking about it a little bit. And when I look at this unfiltered ale, to me, it tastes as much of a wine as it does a beer. Sam, what do you think about that? Beers that taste like wine or have wine qualities?
I think that wine is a very complex beverage, and it's been given a lot of props for its complexity. And now beer is making a comeback. It's always been a complex and wonderful beverage, but luckily now people are paying attention to the things that beer can do. So to compare beer with wine in that way, I would have to say it's always been just as good as wine, Jimmy.
That's great. Well, last week we had a really special event in New York City at Union Beer, also known as GreatBrewers.com, hosted for the first time in 4 years their mega portfolio tasting. There must have been close to 100 brewers from around the world in New York City. It was a really special event. I think almost everyone in this room went there. And the next day, I was blessed to have five special brewers at Jimmy's 43. I had an old Italian man who brews Grotto Plato, of which we're going to taste later. We had Mr. Caiucci from Hitachino Nest. We had the brewer from Harveston. We had the brewers from the Porterhouse, which is a new brewery in Ireland.
Dublin.
And in Dublin. Have you been there?
No, I was sequestered by the Guinness people when I went and didn't get out of there.
Well, it's funny. Just a few weeks ago, it was a St. Patrick's Day show, and we were making fun of Irish beer, and we were talking about how good the English craft, you know, cask ales are and all that. And when I met the guys from the Porterhouse, I said, how long have you guys been brewing? And they said, since 1996. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me that for 14 years, there's been at least one really good, you know, craft brewery in Ireland. Have any of you had the chance to taste the Porterhouse Oyster Stout, which is their flagship beer?
Yeah,
you know, with the oyster stouts, they're not really, you hear the word oyster and you think it's going to be really super briny, but it just adds a layer of complexity to it and an underlying depth that doesn't really overpower it. It's more frightening in the name than the actual drinking.
So it goes well with the oysters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it was great to see. I mean, I put it out there. I said, Ireland doesn't make good beer, and we tried good beer last week. And that was cool. And the last brewery, besides the Harveston, Hitachino, Grotto Plato, And the porterhouse was Piccolo Saison, which is another one of my favorite small breweries. It seems like they're making Belgian-style beers, but they're using like traditional Italian herbs and spices. So their Saison had Cinotto, which is like an Italian bitter herb. And that was a really beautiful beer. They're also really expensive, which makes a beer like this Firestone really blow me away. I mean, this is a simple ale. It says craftily unfiltered ale, Firestone Solus. And I'm like, let me have some more, Sam. This is really good. It. Yeah. And Jen, who's also known as Brooklyn Beer Gal. Jen, did you bring a local beer as well? Or American beer?
I did. I brought a number of beers, actually. I was excited to bring another Founders, and that is the...
So you mean last week on Beer Sessions, we tasted Founders for the first time in New York.
Yes. So I thought you needed to have another taste, the Founders Dry Hop Pale Ale. And I also brought some Keegan's Joe Mama Stout.
Where's Keegan's from?
Keegan's is Kingston. From Kingston. Kingston, New York. It kind of has a special place for me. My boyfriend and I kind of, when we first met, we started talking about Keegan. So we like to enjoy Keegan's up in Kingston. And then not so local, I brought, a bottle from the brewery from LA. And then 6 Point, another one of my favorites. I didn't realize that they bottled. I brought a Grand Cru, so...
Oh, beautiful. What is this nice dark ale? What is that? The Keegan's?
That is the Keegan's Joe Mama.
Joe Mama, and what is this?
So that is, I've been told it's the Mother's Milk Imperial Stout brewed with coffee.
Oh, cool.
Wow. There's been some really great beers made locally like this. Jen, I want to start interviewing you because I've known you for a while. I know you're going to be helping out with the July Good Beer Month, which you're all going to hear a lot about more later. How did you get started working in the beer industry? What was your first job?
My first job was at Sam Adams Boston Beer Company. I was moving up to Boston and, you know, I went and interviewed. I, you know, was really lucky they chose me out of hundreds of applicants. And I started there. I worked in the office in marketing and on the weekends at the brewery. So I owe Jim Cook kind of to my interest in beer.
So his name's Jim Cook, start. Not Jim Cock.
Yes.
Scotch.
Yes. Jim Cook.
Excuse my
French. And, it's Cook.
And you hear Jim, you know, in his ads on the radio, and that is Jim's just true passion for beer. And I think that's where I kind of got my passion for beer and why I'm so interested in this industry and, you know, talking to fans and brewers, because it's just that passion and that love to, you know, to create these products. And it's... You know, that's Jim and that's all these other brewers and everyone here. You know, we all have that same love. So it's just really exciting.
So you have a blog? What's your blog called?
Yeah, my blog is Brooklyn Beer Gal. I basically needed to learn. I work in the media industry and needed to learn how to start blogging. So I thought, what more to blog about than beer? So it's not kind of your typical beer blog in that I talk about the styles or anything like that, but I talk about my travels and the different beer festivals and what I find, you know, interesting and different breweries that I've visited. Like recently went to Asheville, North Carolina, drove down to Key West and just stopped at tons of different breweries on the way. You know, Asheville is a small city and there were, you know, 8 or 9 places that we got to try.
They're the new... craft brewing or microbrewery capital of the U.S. Mm-hmm. Asheville.
In this month's issue of Imbibe magazine, I actually just wrote a Destination Asheville feature, which kind of chronicles all of the amazing stuff going on down there. I mean, it's a city of 70,000 people, and they have, I think, 9-10 breweries popping in there right now, and it's just amazing bottle shops like Brews and Ales, which are just kind of pushing the envelope for people and allowing them to find all these amazing southern beers. I mean, for years, these laws kind of made the South handicapped for having delicious beers, but things getting lifted, the high alcohol beers are coming in, and just all these breweries are making amazing stuff. There's Craggy just popped in. Highland Brewing's been there for more than a decade, I think, and mm-hmm. it's a fantastic beer drinking town.
And if I must recommend, Highland I went to, it was fabulous, but also Wedge. It's the Iron Rail IPA. So,
okay. Yep. So Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes.
A southern brewing center. Have you been there, Sam?
Yes, I have. I was down there when I worked for the Brooklyn Brewery, and we went to a barbecue cook-off in Tryon, North Carolina. And then we got to spend a night in Asheville, and it was one of the most amazing trips. I'd take that over a trip to Europe any day. I was late night up in the woods drinking moonshine with guys around a fire and wrestling around and stuff. And
so Asheville, North Carolina
is a beautiful place for beer.
Josh, tell us more. I mean, you write for Imbibe magazine.
Yep, that's I'm one of their contributing writers. I mainly write about beer for them. But I was in Asheville for a wedding back in, last May, and I was just popping around there, and it was, you know, I got dragged down there by my girlfriend's friends, and I was just like, well, I got to go to this wedding. But then I went down there and spent a couple days checking it out, and the beers there were just amazing. And then I got back, and I told my editors there about how fantastic the brews were, and then that was it. And so,
well, for the let's orient ourselves. Asheville, is that near the Black Mountains, or... What is there a certain part of North Carolina?
I think it's western North Carolina, yeah.
Is there a certain area that it's known for? Or?
Is it the I'm terrible at geography right now, so I'm going to be is it the Blue Ridge Mountains or is
yes.
it the yeah.
It's the Blue Ridge Mountains. So I'm curious, I mean, are the breweries there like super small?
You know, there's going to be breweries that are going to be locally centered on there, but they're you know, someone like Highlands are a very regional brewery, which is in 5-6 states around. And then there's what she was mentioning, it was the Wedge. They don't really get much beyond that. Then there's a Pisgah, which is a little bit outside town, but they make really amazing stuff too. But they get in North Carolina, but nothing beyond that.
Yeah. And since they're like more local regional breweries, are they doing anything like sustainable in terms of giving their spent grain to local farms? Or, I mean, do any of them talk that talk or talk about organic or anything like that?
Well, you know, the Pisgah, I was talking to David Quinn, one of the, he's a brewmaster, if I recall correctly, of them. They're contracting local hops farmers, and they're trying to get, so they can have their wet hopped ales in the fall when the harvest comes in. But that's, of course, a couple-year project down the line. But now they're getting local honey, which is also helping out a lot, too, for one of their ales.
Wow, that sounds really cool. Hey, Sam, how you doing today?
Well, I'm good. I just came off a nice class at Jimmy's 43 Beer University yesterday with some Cicerone stuff, and went to the Union Beer trade tasting last week, and it was phenomenal. Heading out to the Craft Brewers Conference next week, where there will be a massive amount of brewers congregating.
Where is that this year?
That's in Chicago. It's put on by the Brewers Association. And it is just, it really, every year we get into the movement a little bit more. And there is such camaraderie in this business. It's just overflowing with love.
So that's, for all effect, it's the president's hometown. Are there any local or regional breweries in Chicago that you would recommend or look forward to visiting?
Well, Goose Island is the big one. You know, their presence in Chicago is just amazing, and they do so much work with beer education with the Siebel Institute and the Cicerone program. So we'll definitely be going to Goose Island and seeing them. And then it's just a matter of, well, there's the Lagunitas Brewery put together a program where they brewed. They had a few people from Chicago come out to Lagunitas when I was out there, and they brewed a beer to be served in Chicago, which was really neat, a kind of a collaboration. So it's going to be wide open over there. It's going to be a whirlwind of 48 hours and about 150,000 beers.
Hmm. Wow. Josh, have you ever been to that?
No, I haven't been there for that. I've been to the Oregon Brewers Festival, but I haven't been to the Chicago one. But I grew up in the Midwest, so I should have been.
It's not in Chicago. It rotates every year.
It rotates every year, and it's really an industry thing. If you want to be a craft brewer, you go to that, and you start meeting distributors. And the distributors come there to shop, and they look for sort of the bell of the ball, and then they pick them up in their hometown. And so it's a really good shopping venue for distributors, and also if you're looking to start a brewery, you can be taken under the wing of craft beer.
So Craft Brewers Conference next week in Chicago.
I always see Jim Cook at that thing too.
Jim Cook and I
run up and give him my card and make sure he remembers me, because you know, Jen, he's such a nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
Cool. All right, we're going to wrap up this little segment. I'm Jimmy Carbone. This is Beer Sessions Radio. My guests today are Sam Merritt, Jen Ward, and Josh Bernstein, and we'll be back in a few minutes with more Beer Sessions Radio.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay, I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt, that's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Count my days, I'm gone, forget reaching me by phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. Gotta get in straight, how could I ever be late, when you're my woman taking up my time. Oh, how could you ever allow, I wonder how I would get out of pocket for fun.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Our sponsor is the Good Beer Seal at goodbeerseal.com. One of my special guests tonight is Josh Bernstein. He's a great writer. I've met him quite a few times. Last year at Jimmy's 43, we had the brewers and owners of Nanni O, which is a really cool craft brewery from Norway. It was like there were like 10 guys from that brewery there, and Josh came and wrote about it. Do you remember that tasting?
Oh,
they
yeah.
Had a great turnout, didn't they?
It was fantastic. The thing about that guy, he's the story about him, he's an airline pilot, I think. So he still flies a couple days a week. And then in his downtime from that, he runs this amazing world-class brewery that's kind of reinventing Norway's beer landscape.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, suddenly in these places like Scandinavia, they had these kind of repressive laws about alcohol levels and taxations. And they're brewing excellent beers for it, mostly for export, I think, right?
Well, I think if I recall correctly, a certain percentage of alcohol can only be sold in certain places, and so they're really handicapped at what they can do there. So most of it does go to export.
And there's one in Denmark, it's called McKellar, and that's actually a nomad brewery where, because of the laws and everything, they actually brew in places like Belgium and Italy, and they sell it in mostly to the United States.
He's doing a really fun project right now where he's going through, I think it's a single hop series where he's...
Yes.
He's going like a Cascade. He's going like, he's going to do Nelson Sauvin. So he's
It's one of the greatest ways to teach people about the ingredients of beer, what they're doing. The people from, I think, Arcadia did it as well. But you basically use all the same ingredients except for you change one, which is the hop. And it's just, it's an eye opener. That's a really cool
And there was a really cool tasting a couple weeks ago at a Blind Tiger. They did the whole series of McKellar single hop beers, and it was quite amazing.
It's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I just saw a note from the engineer. Is there a call-in? It's our first call-in.
All right.
Hello there. Who's this?
Hey, guys. How you doing? My name's Jason.
Hi, Jason. This is Jimmy. How are you?
What's up, Jason?
This is Sam.
Doing all right. I'm glad to hear you guys on the radio talking about beer. Sounds good.
Great. Well,
the reason I was calling, though, is I guess I'm pretty new to the whole beer thing. I'm a Budweiser drinker. I'm just a loyal one beer type of guy. So I'm trying to figure out what are the differences about all these different kinds of beers. I mean, what taste wise and I guess process wise, is there a way to describe them, or is it the best way to just go out and drink them, or what do you guys have to say?
Well, let me start, because I'm probably most like you. I started out as a regular beer drinker. And over the years, I've been lucky enough to taste fancy beers. I think the first thing is most of them are expensive. So it's kind of like you got to find your favorite beer bar or favorite package store where they carry this. And you get a chance to go to tastings. I think that's the first thing you should do. You know, a lot of these stores and bars have tastings where for free or for maybe $10, you can taste a wide range of beers. And after a while, you know, you'll get a sense of what you like. And you start realizing that there's more to it than just a Bud. Partly they're stronger, you know, and you can get more enjoyment from it. And they taste better. It's a little different than Bud. I'm going to turn it over to Sam Merritt. Sam's our, like, beer educator. And he knows a lot about techniques and things about beer. So he'll tell you.
So, Jason, I'm a certified beer sommelier on the Cicerone program, and the first thing I can tell you is that we're not going to hold it against you that you've been drinking Bud, because I drank a whole lot of Bud, and I still drink the beer. So don't let anybody tell you not to drink Bud, okay? The second thing is that there are a whole bunch more beers available now, so just start exploring a little bit and get some guidance. But the important thing is to keep trying different beers, because there's so many out there. You're going to find one that's got a lot of flavor, a lot of personality. But keep drinking that Budweiser. They do a good job. We like them. And they produce more beer than anybody in the U.S. So definitely, if you want to go to civilizationofbeer.com and shoot me an email, I will guide you. And I will respond to your email personally.
And Sam, what would you offer to someone who's new to beer, who wants to drink more than Budweiser? What are some examples of beers that he could try?
If I have a loyal Budweiser drinker and I want to really turn them on to specialty beer, I immediately go to the Duvel Ale from Belgium. It's golden, it's light in body, but it's got a heck of a lot of flavor, and it's 8.5% alcohol, which is almost double the alcohol of Budweiser. So you're already getting into, well, the buzz of things as it is, Jason. So go out and get yourself some Duvel, and you'll only be able to get a 4-pack of it, but that'll do.
I mean, we're supposed to talk, we can't, I don't know if there's limits for what we can talk about, moderation or alcohol content, but I will tell you this. You drink someone like a Duvel or a Chimay to get started, and you won't go back to Bud. It's a lot stronger, and you're going to have a lot of fun. A couple other sites that I like. I like beeradvocate.com.
Really good.
I don't go there to browse, but what I do is this. Whenever I try a beer that I like, I usually type in, I go to Google. I type in the beer. I go, you know, Smutty Nose IPA, Beer Advocate, and I click it. And it comes back with the Beer Advocate review and information about it. And it just tells you some simple things like how strong it is. You know, Bud's what, like 4%?
5%.
And, you know, it might be, if it's 6%, 7%, it's going to be a little stronger than Bud. But I like that. I like Beer Advocate for, you know, the fact that almost every beer you could get, there's a review of it. And, Josh, what are some other sites that you like that someone can learn about beer on?
Well, you know, Rate Beer is kind of the, I don't know if it's competitor, but it's another one of those other sites.
Ratebeer.com.
Ratebeer.com is another one of those sites you can go to, click on, and just check out people's thoughts. I mean, Beer Advocate tends to be a bit more in-depth, but Rate Beer tends to get to the point a lot quicker, which that's really what it boils down to. Do you like the beer? Do you not like the beer? And sometimes you just want to know that right away.
Cool. And Jen, anything that you, anywhere you like to go to look up beers, learn more about beer?
I mean, I definitely go to Beer Advocate. I have about 400 bookmarks of other sites. I just kind of go to my Delicious where I hold my bookmarks. But I'm actually learning a lot about beer through Twitter. I'm Brooklyn Beer Gal on Twitter. And that is how I've actually found a practical use for Twitter, because beer fans are just all over.
So how do we follow you on Twitter? It's like something, something. Tell us.
You just go to Twitter.com and you do like at Brooklyn Beer Gal or Twitter.com/Brooklyn Beer Gal. You follow me.
So Jason,
me,
I would definitely follow Brooklyn Beer Gal because
we're following her around the place right now.
There's just like, I just found that the community kind of responds. Like if you say you've tried something, they say, oh, I've tried this. If you like that, you know, you might like this beer. So everyone's just giving recommendations, and I think it's
great
for beer
fans. Jen, what's a good transition beer for Jason? Coming from Budweiser and just, you know, sort of, you know, I would follow Jen's advice more than anybody here.
Well, it's hard because I've been drinking, you know, I went from, I never drank Budweiser. I drank like Heineken or whatnot, and then I just went to Guinness and then Sam Adams, and then from there. So I was actually kind of thinking, you know, how I would answer that for Jason. Okay. I'm having a tough time because I like the IPA.
You're our first call-in person. We're going to have some Beer Sessions t-shirts, and email us at beersessions@gmail.com. That's beersessions@gmail.com. And since you're on the radio, we're going to send you a Beer Sessions t-shirt. We're going to have those in a couple weeks.
Nice, all right? Jason. Thanks
all right,
for calling.
So I'm going to go back to Josh, because Josh is probably one of my favorite beer writers. He's got a book coming out soon. Was it?
2011, which is about as soon as books can actually go, unfortunately.
So what are some of the things that you're going to be talking about in your book or writing about?
Well, with the book, I'm kind of taking the pulse of the craft beer industry and seeing where things are at and where things are going. And so it's going to be broken down into probably about 20 different chapters and segments. And like today, for instance, I was going to have interviews about nano breweries, which are, you know, if you're a home brewer and you got really great beer, but you want to go pro, but, you know, going pro to open a microbrewery or a brew pub can cost you upwards of $100,000, and that's not even really going all out. So a nano brewery, you can maybe like $5,000-$10,000 at the most. You can really just put your beer out there, and you may be only doing maybe 30 gallons, which is one barrel at a time, but you're have a chance to really make a mark out there, and you can grow by starting small.
Well, that's great. Do they need special licenses? I mean, they could actually sell the beer?
If you sell one beer or 10 million beers, you need the exact same licenses. And so it's the exact same process. And you can go through it, too. I mean, if you wanted to start brewing beer and selling it, you could do it, too.
Well, actually, I can announce a new brewery that I know. I have some good friends, Alex Hall, who's been the Gotham Imbiber, mm-hmm. the great cask beer advocate for New York, and a couple of his other friends, Chris, not sure of all their last names, Chris Post and Chris Kuzme.
Yep.
And it's called, they have a name for it, it's called Wandering Star. It's going to be based up in Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And they're saying that in about 3 months they will have beer, and I'm excited about that. Because I know they're going to have some kind of an English sensibility.
They're going to have a lot of cask ales, if I recall. I was talking to Alex about this not too long ago. They're going to have a real, because Alex runs all these cask ale festivals around the city. He's really been one of the guiding lights in pushing cask ale and showing people that, like, unfiltered, a bit warmer beer has a lot more flavor. It's not something to be frightened of. And so he's holding a lot of these casks back, and he's going to really start pushing them out for the brewery. So we're going to see a lot of really great English-style beer come to New York City really soon.
That's awesome. I'm going to go back to Jason, because whenever we get someone who emails in or calls into the show, it's those are the questions we want to answer, because it makes us think about what beer is. You know, in this studio today, we all know about great beers. We've been drinking them for years. And I'm trying to go back to when I first drank beer. I remember I was young. I dropped out of college, and I got to travel to Europe, hitchhiked around. And the beer that I really liked was Foster's. I tried Foster's in a can. And I had never really liked the like regular beers that much, but I was like, wow, Foster's tastes really good. And that was probably one of the first beers I had. And I would also give you the same answer I give to President Obama, is when you're thinking about beers, think local or regional. If Jason, I didn't get to, I'm sorry I didn't ask you where you're from, but if you're in New York, I would start with some things like, you know, try a Brooklyn Lager. It's going to be a little heavier than the Bud that you know. But they also make a Pilsner, and I would definitely go to a 6 Point. You see like a 6 Point Sweet Action. That's a real crossover beer. It's a cream ale style. It's got a little more flavor and a little more, I think we can start saying the word buzz. I think that since we're on the radio, one reason we do drink is to go to a higher level of consciousness, and that can come from a good beer. I like beer drinking as opposed to spirits drinking, because the higher level of consciousness comes, and the fall down after that isn't so bad.
It's a drink of moderation, Jimmy. It is.
It keeps you moderate. You know, that's the beauty of it. And I think it's a lifetime beer. You can drink it. There's health benefits. You're drinking also with local or regional beers. There's a good chance that they're naturally made. Mm-hmm. You know, one reason they first people were making beer was to preserve the health benefits of the grains, you know. Josh, are you going to be touching on beer history in your book?
Well, you know, beer history is another subject altogether. We're not starting 10,000 years back. That's been done. We're not starting 30 years back. With Sam's great, Sam Adams fantastic, Jim Cook's an amazing man. But we're going to start and talking about what's been happening, because the last 5 years or so, we've seen a massive transformation in America's beer culture. And it's like, it's evolving at a really rapid clip right now. And it's kind of hard to keep track of what's going on, because you have wild yeasts and you have barrel agings, and then it's very exciting and also a little bit overwhelming. So just kind of try to put all these subjects into one little roof.
So Josh, the two concepts that I really picked up on today were the nano brewery and also the nomad brewery.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, and I'm sure you're going to touch on this on your book, but there are many ways to get into the beer business, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to come in as a Bud Miller or Coors, because those guys all started with a single man, a single woman that started as a tiny, tiny company, and this nano thing and this micro thing is really, really good.
It's bringing it back to the community level. I mean, we are touching on Miss Local Organic. It's bringing it back to a very community level and bringing it back to people. And like you can meet your brewer, you know who your brewer is. That's what's really important. You kind of lose touch with who these people are making your beer. I mean, I've got nothing against Bud. They make technically sound, proficient beer. The hardest thing in brewing beer is replicating one beer 100,000 times. I mean, yeah. And they do that bar none. But you know, that's one flavor, and beer can be any flavor. Like to kind of touch back on the wine style. This one we're drinking right now, which is our Carl Strauss, is a brewery from San Diego. They've been around for 20 years, 21st anniversary. Now they got an expansion last year. Now they're really branching out. And so this new beer we're trying right now is their 21st anniversary ale, which is made with Chardonnay grapes, like aged in oak barrels. I mean, it's got the malt in there too, but it's taking wine, the concept and some of the flavors of wine and applying them to beer, which you couldn't put malt into wine and make wine taste like beer, but you can make beer have wines like the complexities and the qualities of that, which is
beautiful. This has a nice butter side of it that Chardonnay sometimes has, and I like Chardonnay that has, it's like rye toast with a little bit of butter on it.
So this is the 21st anniversary ale brewed with Zinfandel grape juice from Carl Strauss. One more shout out to Jason, our call-in guest. Jason, if you want to try some good beers on May 25th, go to DBA Brooklyn. You can participate in there'll be the announcement of the new round of Good Beer Seal bars. There's a lot of good beers. I would start with a good lager. I would say Victory Braumeister Pils or Victory Harvest Lager.
The Prima Pils? The Prima Pils. That's
what the Budweiser used to be, a better beer. They add rice and other things. And honestly, they're not good beer. So let's close out this segment. And it's Jimmy Carboni, Good Beer Seal sponsored Beer Sessions Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Jacket's in his corset and Jane is in her vest. Me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Riding in a Stutz Bearcat gym. Those were different times. The poets studied rules of verse, and all the ladies rolled their eyes. Sweet Jane. Sweet Jane. Now Jackie is a banker, and Jane, she is a clerk. They're both saving up all that money when they come home from work. Sitting by the fire, classical music for you kids, to the march of the wooden soldiers, and you can hear Jack say.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. I'm Jimmy Carboni, sponsored by the Good Beer Seal at goodbeerseal.com. My co-host tonight, Sam Merritt, our special guests, Jen Ward and Josh Bernstein. Hey guys, welcome back.
Hey,
it was only
a few minutes break,
but I feel like I was away for hours. We're going to try another special beer right now. Luckily, last week with the Union Beer, the AKA GreatBrewers.com portfolio tasting, I was lucky enough to meet the brewer behind, what is this beer? Grotto Plateau. It's an older Italian dude. He only speaks Italian. And I will say that he's my best friend now, probably because he doesn't speak English. We smiled and shared a few drinks, and he asked for some recipes at Jimmy's 43. One of them, he wanted to know how to make the shishito peppers, which is a simple pepper dish cooked in cast iron skillet. I'm really happy we had a call-in person today. What is great to hear is just what people are thinking about beer. And it is true, those of us in this studio right now are fortunate. We really do get to drink the best beers. And when I go out in the world, it is hard to get good beer. I will say that. If I walked into a package store, a liquor store, a wine store, wherever you are in whichever state, you really can't be sure that you're going to get a good beer. I think that times have changed. You can find certain things like Lagunitas, like Victory, you know, Smutty Nose. But I want to talk about Sam Adams because Jen used to work there. And, you know, people in Boston, they swear by Sam Adams. You know, there's always this debate, well, is Budweiser's at war with Sam Adams? But tell us about Sam Adams. Is it a craft brewery? Is it a small brewery? You know, how would we define that? Because I think to some people, supporting Sam Adams still means you're supporting craft beer. Jen, you got to do it because you know the boy and you love him.
Well, for me, I mean, I'm going to say that, you know, Jim Cook kind of started the movement. That's how I feel. You know, I think, I don't know the numbers because I don't look at them like I used to, but, you know, they're still such a small percentage. Seeing Beer Wars, I haven't necessarily checked all the facts.
So there's a film called Beer Wars?
Yes.
What was that film? It's just called Beer Wars?
So Beer Wars, you know, was definitely about the, you know, the kind of the bigger...
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
The bigger beer business
and who made
of distributors.
That film, do you know?
Annette Baron. That's who it is.
Annette Baron. Beer Wars. Okay. Got to reference what we say.
Yeah,
okay.
Great movie.
Because our listeners are lucky enough, they can archive what we've talked about and,
it's
and
on
see the taglines. Yeah. But, and Beer Sessions Radio is now on iTunes too, but if you go to theheritageradionetwork.com, you can actually look at our show Beer Sessions and you can see the tagline. So as you tell me about a movie, you got to give me a little more information. Okay?
Thank All right. you. Yeah, so you know, I think that you know, Jim released, I believe he started a movement. You know, I worked there back in 97, moved here to Brooklyn in 2001. You know, I was a huge fan of Brooklyn Brewery and then, you know, Six Point. And then, you know, I just started traveling and all these other breweries. I mean, I just feel like the movement has just skyrocketed, just the amount of breweries that are everywhere and that we've all talked about today. And
no, I think the term... Hoping you actually get beyond the term craft brewing, because you look at Belgium, I mean, these breweries have been around for centuries and centuries. They don't say, I'm a craft brewer, they just make delicious beer. So what I think Sam Adams is getting past is just they make good beer. You know, it's good drinkable beer. You go to an airport and you don't have to drink a Busch Light, you don't have to drink a Bud. You can have a Sam Adams, and Sam Adams is coming out some delicious beers this year. You know, they're branching out into they had their Noble Pils just came out for their spring seasonal. I mean, these are beers that are available anywhere, but being available everywhere doesn't mean a bad thing.
They are, I think, do the best job of educating about beer than any other beer company, as far as getting the word out, even through their advertising. Talking about the skunking, for instance, you've seen some ads about skunking, bringing in lots of chefs to pair with different dishes that they've prepared with Sam Adams stuff. They're staying on that cutting edge when it comes to the education, and that's what these kind of beers need. You can't give someone a beer like this without telling them, "Hey, you're gonna taste something very different here, and it's gonna be good."
Does Sam Adams have regional breweries? I mean, are they brewing around the country, or is it just brewed in Boston?
No, it is. They do contract brew in other breweries.
But if I recall, they do actually have their own brewers that go there and oversee their actual process. So it's not just like you're sending out a recipe. I mean, contract brewing is a misnomer. It's not just like you're sending the recipe out there. There's usually some guy that's from your own brewery going there and being like, this is good. And they're not just sending it out.
Oh, definitely. I mean, they, you know, own other breweries where they, you know, maybe it's not brewed in Boston. I'm forgetting Ohio is where their other brewery is. I mean, Jim Cook... you know, is tasting those beers every day, you know, from those different breweries to make sure everything is consistent. But what Sam said in terms of education, I mean, that's something that I truly remember, as well as, you know, educating accounts about beer and food and the importance of beer and food and kind of bringing it back to, you know, how most people thought that wine and food, you know, we're always paired together. And now, you know, we're starting to see restaurants do more and more beer dinners. You know, Jimmy's 43 doing all these beer and food events. And that's just like really exciting at this point.
The day before I started selling beer for the Craft Brewers Guild in the Brooklyn Brewery in 1996, there was a Dateline NBC special slamming Jim Cook for Contract Brewing. And, of course, I was going to the biggest contract brewer in New York City to go work for them. And
which one was that?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn still contracts, I think, probably about 80 to 70% of their beer upstate.
And where do they contract?
FX Matt in Utica, one of the best breweries in the country. They're responsible for Saranac and many other brands. Mm-hmm. Sam Adams used to brew there as well. So I went in, and I was very nervous that the whole contract brewing thing would be thrown out of the water. And it turned out that he came up with a wonderful rebuttal to it. And he said, if Julia Childs came to your house with a bag of groceries and went to your kitchen and cooked a beautiful meal, would you not say that Julia Childs was here in the room cooking you your meal? And it's true. It's just using someone else's kitchen with your recipe and your supervision. And so contract brewing is one of those other ways that you can get into it besides the nano brewing, besides the nomad brewing, etc. So it's a really good gateway.
Yeah, a lot of breweries that pop up, like Six Point in Brooklyn, they do contract brewing as well. I mean, but it's just you reach a critical mass where you can't produce this much beer, and so you want to meet your customers and consumers' demand, so you have to go out there and find a way. So and capital investment, especially, not to keep bringing it back to New York or Brooklyn, but capital investment in the space and infrastructure is, that's a killer. You're going to break it. You're going to break yourself doing that.
In New York City, the real estate is so important. I mean, it takes to brew a significant amount of beer in New York City and anywhere, it takes about 2,500 square feet with the equipment. So it's a really big investment, especially in metropolitan areas.
With big ceilings, which don't happen.
Big ceilings.
Sam, I want to bring this back to you because every show I learn a little bit more about you. And besides you being the East Coast Cicerone beer educator, I just found out that tell us about Blue Smoke and your role with that.
Oh, Blue Smoke. Well, luckily I was on their softball team for a couple of years, but when Blue Smoke opened, I was working for the Brooklyn Brewery and I was managing Manhattan for them, and they designed a beer called Blue Smoke Original Ale that, they brought their spice rub and their dry rub over to the brewery, and Garrett Oliver, of course, worked with it and came up with a beer that would marry really well with their food. And it was the first time that the brewery agreed to do a house beer, so to speak. And that was very out of fashion for a long time because people were putting really bad beer through their name. Mm-hmm. And now it's actually back in fashion because you can get a small brewery that would be thrilled to be the house beer in a retail account in New York. So now you're getting there's a small brewery in Chatham that's supplying a place called the Dive Bar uptown. And so you're getting more and more. People know now that if you have a place and say, you know, Jimmy's 43 had their own beer, they know that you're not brewing the beer at Jimmy's 43. They're going to say, who's brewing that for you? Mm-hmm. And then you can talk about that small brewery that has this opportunity. So it's changed dramatically. But Blue Smoke was the first time that the Brooklyn Brewery said, hey, you know, we're going to, of course, Danny Meyer, you know, he's a real heavy hitter, but
Blue Smoke, that's in Manhattan.
It's in Manhattan on 27th Street.
It's a barbecue restaurant.
Yeah, barbecue restaurant. They have smokers in there. They had to put in big chimneys, but it was my number one account for a long time with the Brooklyn Beer, and I was lucky enough to be on the softball team with them and got to know them really well. So Blue Smoke is great. Danny Meyer is a king. If we can have him on the show, I'd be psyched.
We will. I mean, the Beer Sessions Radio is just starting. We've had some really great guests so far. And I'm really happy to have Josh and Jen here tonight. In fact, it's the first time we ever talked about Sam Adams. And I'm glad we did because it is something, if you're a bar drinker, go for Sam Adams. I don't know, Jim Koch. How is this guy's name Jim Cook? K-O-C-H. I don't know about that.
It's a dialect. But, I think that we should talk about all beer, Jimmy. You know, it's not just the craft stuff. And yes, the craft community is very vocal, but let's talk about
Grotto Plato. Come on.
Yeah.
Crazy Italian guy, Grotto Plato.
Gorgeous beer.
Very expensive beer. The one we're drinking is, what's this called, Josh? Tell us about that beer.
I can't tell you about this beer because glasses. You brought this.
It's Cucamurla. It's 10% beer. There's like some carob and chocolate in there, and it tastes like something out of this world. I love it. That's what I like about beer. I like the mix. I could drink Budweiser, but I would probably rather drink whiskey, honestly.
Sure.
Tonight we had a 6-point Grand Cru. It blew me away. We got to try a Firestone unfiltered Solus Ale. Blew me away. We had Keegan's Milk Stout, and it makes me realize all the good stouts that I like have a chocolate finish. Mm-hmm. And so we've had some really good beers in Grotto Plateau. I don't know where you're going to find them, but you know, a couple places like Beercraft and you know, maybe the, you know, the American Beer Thrifty Beverages in Brooklyn will probably have them. I want to tell you guys, thanks so much for coming in tonight. This has been a great show for Sam Merritt, Jen Ward, and Josh Bernstein. Look for Josh's beer book in 2011.
I'll probably talk about it more then.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more.
Right now I'm writing.
Jen's going to work on the July Good Beer Month that you'll hear more about. Mm-hmm. And Sam's always out there as Mr. Cicerone, beer educator. Thank you so much. This is Jimmy Carboni, and it's a Good Beer Seal sponsored show. And thank you for Bree O'Connor and Jack Inslet, our executive producers, and Nat Wiener, our engineer, and for some Good Beer Seal events. Tuesday, March 23rd, the Bar Great Harry, Speakeasy Brewery Night, and we're a week behind. So thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It makes me a jolly good fellow.